Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Andrea Logan White about her book, Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. Now, Andrea is the co-owner of Pure Flex Entertainment. She's an actress, she is a Christian, and an author. Andrea, welcome to LifeQuest.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
Well, I began reading your book, you call the first chapter Red Carpet, and it's in Hollywood. But that's not the beginning or the ending, is it?
No, that's just a little snippet of what happens on a daily basis.
Well, as I read, you talk in the first chapters about your growing up as a child, your family, which became quite dysfunctional. And I thought, boy, wherever this woman went, she came out of something. And so that's really what happened, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, my heart for this book is to just encourage people to never give up. And no matter where you live, what you do, how much money you make, where you came from, we all struggle. And we all struggle with the same problems. We deal with a lot of heartbreak, health issues, addictions, relationship issues. And so I really just wanted to be truthful, transparent, and honest, to share my heart and to say, listen, no matter what, we're all hurting and we all need Jesus.
And then you kind of, just as you began that story, and you eventually go back to that, but then you jump forward, you've got a family, you've got kids, and one day you realize that despite your faith and your belief in God, many times you just still didn't feel God's presence. You felt alone. And you write this, you did not have joy in the midst of suffering, and you wanted to know why, except you said, I met people in that. And yet, in this whole book, even when you weren't actively seeking God, there were people.
And, you know, it's funny because we think we know what we want, and we have expectations of how we want our life to look like and to be and to turn out. And, you know, oftentimes we have to walk through months and years of heartache and mm-hmm. trials, and you know, it's not always what we think we need, but God is faithful, and you look back, and sometimes you don't understand why you go through something so hard, but you can look back and hopefully, God willing, a few years later and say, wow, you know what, God did strengthen me. He was there, even though I had no idea, it didn't feel his presence, he was there, he was working, and sometimes it takes getting through that storm to look back and to realize that.
So tell our listeners, kind of give us an overview of what was happening. Your parents divorced, your siblings were getting in trouble. You eventually ended up in San Diego. Unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, let's see if I can give you the Reader's Digest version. Well, you know, I grew up with two brothers in the cornfields outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete. I was kind of a sick kid, but I was always a sensitive spirit, very shy, and from little on, I just grew up feeling like something was wrong with me. I never felt smart enough, pretty enough, tall enough, mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel normal, and I believe that's like, you know, feeling this rejection, and so I had that insecurity growing up, and always, and then older, just kind of living my life through this lens of perfection. And the only thing that ever protected me / saved me before I gave my life to Jesus was an eating disorder, because both of my grandparents died and my parents got a divorce within the same year. So I grew up raising myself from a teenager. I was about 13, kind of was on my own, mm-hmm. You know, and so I didn't I had wild abandonment. I could do whatever I wanted. So I experimented. Well, obviously I didn't have, you know, the nurturing in my home life, and mm-hmm. so I experimented with drugs. I dated boys, and along the way had heartbreak, and then the eating disorders crept in late, you know, my latter years in high school, because I could not control how people treated me, if they left me, you know, my own family that I loved. I just felt abandoned and rejected, and so control was my protection. I felt safe when I controlled things, and so I had to control food to protect myself because I didn't feel safe.
Right. And yet despite this being on your own and having to use your own judgment or sometimes lack of, things progressed. And your father ended up, in San Diego, and so you went to live either with him or near him.
I did. So I lived with my dad the last year in high school, and then over the course of graduation to moving to San Diego, the eating disorder had gotten so bad I couldn't get out of bed. And so I then turned 18, went to 2 weeks of outpatient eating disorder treatment in Illinois, then moved to San Diego with my dad, and I spent the first 6 months in bed. And didn't know a single soul, moved to California, and what really got me out of bed was getting back into school, and I'm kind of feisty and stubborn, to be honest, and I don't want to die young. You know, I could barely stand up to brush my teeth. I was so sick. I had this fire inside me that's like, no, I have to push through. And that was kind of something that got me through to get myself into school and fall in love with a theater class and kind of got me on the next path. But that wasn't the answer either.
You unexpectedly, the way I'm reading the book here, found yourself in Hollywood as far and making connections.
Yeah, I mean the irony is we, you know, I kind of landed in a crazy crowd. So I was working, going to school, fell in love with acting. So I got an agent, a commercial agent, and kind of was auditioning in San Diego, and then a commercial agent from LA who happened to represent a lot of Playboy Playmates said, "Hey, I'm going to the Playboy Mansion. Would you like to join me?" And I was like, "What? Of course!" So I drive up with my $20 black dress and meet them, and you know, on the other side of that door was a world that I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I was 19 years old, and so that was something that Leonardo DiCaprio, George Clooney, all these celebrities, these beautiful, perfect blonde models, that was kind of the world that I was thrown into. And before I knew it, I was living with Hef's girlfriend. I moved up to L.A. the day after I turned 20 with $350 in my account to pursue my dream of acting, but I kind of landed in a little bit of a crazy crowd that steered me in the wrong direction.
You give a lot of details about going to parties and other functions in the Playboy Mansion. It's interesting to me that you didn't really overtly feel pressured in some of the choices that other people were easily making in that environment. In fact, our listeners will be interested to know that at one point, Hefner provided a limousine to send you and your friend to church.
Yes, I mean, that is the irony of God. Well, so we had got into, the first week I moved out there, I got straight into an acting class. The teacher happened to be a Christian, and he went to a church called Malibu Vineyard, so he invited Hef's girlfriend at the time and me, and so Hef provided a limo, came to our house, and we took that limo to church in Malibu, and I thought, oh, look at these sweet Christians. They're so cute, and oh, it's not for me. But that was literally the only church that I had known. It was the first few months of moving to L.A., so fast forward a few years ahead of time, that was the church that God used to kind of get me back to get saved. And so, yes, Hef did have a role in providing a ride, and that's fun because God will use anybody, and God has a sense of humor, that's for sure.
You know, it's interesting to me, 84, 85 of your book, you point out that there were a lot of options you could have pursued in the Playboy Mansion environment, and you didn't. And you didn't, now you realize, because there was some kind of conscience. So you had this sense of true north, as you put it. Would you explain that a little bit?
Well, you know, I look back at those years, and I am so grateful for God's hand in protection. Even though I didn't know He was protecting me, He really saved me from a lot. And I was still struggling, battling with anorexia, and I was very thin. And I would, you know, I was at Hef's mansion every week with my roommate because that was Hef's girlfriend, and so we'd sit down. And he really had more of a fatherly. He treated me more like a daughter than it was, you know, a lot. Obviously, he dated young women and had multiple girlfriends. I was never one of those, thank God. And he treated me more like a daughter and said, you know, if you ever want to pose for Playboy, you need to eat. And, you know, he would make sure that I ate my dinner. And so there was really a pure relationship. And there was, thankfully, there was never any of the other on that side. And so I look back, and I'm so glad that God. And you know, I, as much as I fell into dating the wrong men and doing the wrong things and compromising in some of my jobs that I did, and I absolutely regret it and lived in shame for many years. But I look back and say, wow, I really did have a conscience. And shortly after, you know, the Holy Spirit was protecting me from certain things. Did I make a lot of bad choices? Absolutely. But there could have been a lot more consequences than God had. So I'm very grateful for that.
At one point then in your life, you met David, who is now your husband, who, by the way, folks, I have interviewed and talked with about one of his books. But you look back now and you see God's leading in that. What happened with you and David, and where has that brought you? And it wasn't all perfect either.
Yeah, I mean, whoever says they have a perfect marriage, they're lying.
Yeah.
But you know what? We have a blessed life. We have a rich life. And God has brought us through many storms. And we've had nothing, and we've been blessed. And we've been through all seasons of life, and a lot of heartache, a lot of death, a lot of loss in our families. But we met at Malibu Vineyard, and I was a baby Christian, and David is a few years older than me. And so I said, okay, God, it's me and you. I am on my honeymoon with you. I want nothing to do with men. I recommit my life to you. I vow to save myself from marriage. And so here comes David walking into Malibu, and I just was really protected and guarded, and I wasn't ready to jump into a relationship. I said, Lord, show me men that love you. I just want to meet Christian men. I want friends. I want guy friends, Lord. And so David and his friends come along. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at these great guys that actually, because I didn't date men that actually went to church. Mm-hmm. I dated, like, you know, rebellious, mean guys that were just, they treated women wrong.
Yes.
And so when I met David, I was like, he was a breath of fresh air because he was respectful and kind. He came from a pastor's family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to church and also serving God, but wanting to find his wife. And I wanted to find somebody that just loved God. I had no intention. So, you know, we had a courtship, and I tried to run away from him a few times. But within a year and a day of friendship / dating, we married each other. And that was in July of 2003. So we've been together for over 15 and a half years. Yeah. So it's been blessed, but it hasn't been easy.
Well, and that's where I wanted to go next, and that is that, you know, you came together, you brought in your each of your experiences and talents, acting, production, things like that. There was a popular, well-known film. God Is Not Dead, and yet things didn't always just explode positively, did they?
No, I I don't know. We don't know the enemy knows our weaknesses, and obviously God is stronger than all of that. But I just I've had a difficult life, and there's so many more people, and they're going to say, "Oh, poor you." But obviously, you can read more in my book. But
right. But
I've gone through a lot of loss and heartache, and we're building PureFlix, and we couldn't pay our bills. I lost a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes through financial loss, to not being able to pay our bills, to losing a child, to fear then God giving me this child, to fear of losing it, to battling with my demons of eating disorders, to now battling chronic health issues. And so there's no self-pity, but a constant feeling of, why can't I just, you know, have this comfortable life? And oftentimes, you know, really my entire life has been really uncomfortable, and we all have discomfort. Mm-hmm. And God uses those things to stretch us, to grow us, to strengthen us, to mature us. And you know what? Who knows if I'd be a faith-filled, Jesus-loving girl if I had my life all together. Maybe I wouldn't. You know, so God does use them. He doesn't put those things upon us. But Romans 8:28, I stand on Romans 8:28. Mm-hmm. I believe he does work all things together for good, according to his will and purpose. And so, I am trying to train my kids up to love God, to build their faith. But, yeah, life isn't easy for any of us. And there's a lot of tragedy. But we can trust and hope and believe that our forever home is not here. It's an eternity. And we have that to look forward to.
And, you know, the titles that are now in your book are very revealing. I'll mention a couple of them, From Feast to Famine, and The Waiting Room, and that's one of the hard things, isn't it? Yeah. And chapter 19, you title The Beauty of Broken. Define the brokenness.
Define the brokenness. Well, that is my life in a nutshell. It's living my life through the lens of perfection and fighting myself. Mm-hmm. I was the champion of self-destruction. I was killing myself, literally. And even as a Christian, I could not feel like I could just get my life together. And I had a really hard time of accepting my flaws and my imperfections. And it wasn't until I've embraced the ugly, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the imperfections, the flaws, that God finally was like, okay, you get it now. I can work in your life. I am filled with love and grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Do I give you a license to sin? No. But I'm here, right, holding you, loving you, whether you're in the depths and pits of hell or, walking in the strength and the beauty of my grace and mercy. And so, it's really that I had to just surrender fighting myself and fighting, being embarrassed and being shameful of my past. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I finally accepted all of that, all of me, and a lot of it, a lot more bad than good, was I able to finally receive God's healing and love, and to be able to extend that love for others. And I have a passion and a heart for struggling people. I love messed up people because I'm one of them. And so, God put us here to help each other, not to sit there and, give each other accolades and look at me on Instagram, but to say, listen, I'm broken, and I want you to see my transparent life so you can, feel encouraged to be able to see God work through yours.
The title of your book here, Perfectly Unfinished, I really like that, because too many times, even as committed or maybe even long, even as lifelong Christians, people have this sense of, well, I'm not perfect, so I guess I'm not what God wants me to be. And you say, but we are perfect, but unfinished.
Right. And the perfect one, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives inside of us. And so we can rely on Him to transform us. And oftentimes that takes much longer than we want. But, we're all broken in our own ways. And I think there's something that we can be proud of because, we're here not for ourselves, but we're here to bring others to Christ. This is we're in school right now. We live in vessels that break down and mm-hmm. and we all struggle with different things, but you know what, we're here to teach and to live in love like Jesus, like Pastor Sean at Calvary Community Church in Westlake, our church that we go to, mm-hmm. is, our mission here on earth is to live in love like Jesus, and if we do that on a daily basis, whether we have a good day or a bad day, then we're doing our job.
I've been talking to Andrea Logan White. Her book is Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. It's a Zondervan publication. Andrea, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Great question. Well, if you go to perfectlyunfinished.com, it will show you all of the links that you can purchase from, either uh-huh. my website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere internationally you can purchase it. So I just appreciate you guys and just want to know that I love you, and I'm praying for you, and never give up, and just come as you are.
Andrea, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Thank you so much, Dwight. God bless you.
If you go into any Christian bookstore, even a Walmart, you find a wide variety of really good Christian books. If you find a book or an author that you really have learned to appreciate and has been a blessing to you, let us know here at LifeQuest. I'd certainly like to do an interview and get a copy of the book from the publisher that you think the rest of the LifeQuest listeners would be blessed with. So send me an email, lifequest@lifetalk.net. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.